We are the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Well, let's just say the 6 o'clock news will never be the same again. The days of Walter Cronkite and three network channels has long passed. Well, journalism has morphed into news, opinion, and ideological rants, all passed off as unbiased, honest news. This is Malcolm Out Loud here. So your search continues for the Out Loud truth. I get it. Well, here it won't be just the news. It'll be how we discuss the news. A drive time show you can count on weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We call it Nozzle. World news, political talk, stories that impact your health. Honor our heroes, stories that'll inspire you. What you'll hear next is the heartbeat of the people. The hottest topics, the news stories that trend. It's time, friends, for a new stream of consciousness. It's Nozzle. Packages that are left, they've been left on people's doorsteps, in porches. Some folks have brought them into the home. They've exploded. They've gone off. I mean, one 17-year-old kid was killed. The mom was seriously hurt. There's another 75-year-old. And then these couple of folks just on Sunday evening were just out and about in Southwest Austin. And somehow, I guess, Dennis, there was some sort of a box or something there. We don't really know all the details of this one yet. And I think they say they're probably connected. They still are checking this thing out to really know if it's the same person. And they've kind of put pleads out there as well to the person. You know, what happens in these kinds of cases is, there becomes, what worries me the most is you get a lot of copycats. And the reason that they say this, the officials right away, it's like, we think this may be the same person, although they're really not, you know, entirely sure. And that's because you get copycats. They see this stuff all over the media, and then you get other people trying stuff. You know, they're not sure also how, you know, if this is a terrorism sort of thing, if that plays into this thing or not. What do you make of this?
In terms of the motivation, it is, nobody knows. I mean, the problem with this thing, it's a mystery bomber.
Yeah, mystery bomber, that's it. So Chief Manley, again, he urges residents of Travis County, the neighborhoods there, to stay inside. That was the order. Very, very unprecedented here. Stay inside on Monday morning. And they've also warned folks to be careful, not just of boxes, but of, like, backpacks or anything at all that you don't know what it is. Don't touch it or don't even go near it. That's and by the way, the other thing, Dennis, is the reward to this thing. Initially, I think it was about $50,000. That is up now to upwards of about $115,000 for somebody with information that leads to the arrest of this person or persons who have done this. You know, I think this, what comes to my mind right away with these kinds of incidents is that this is kind of the sign of the times when these kinds of, you know, this is kind of one of these freaky things that are happening. Like you say, it's a mystery bomber. You really don't know what it is. You don't know where it's happening. But I think what happens is these things get into the media vernacular then, and they're out there exposed, and then people sort of, you know, you don't know if the copycat things are going to happen or what's really going to take place with these things. So I think people have to be diligent, not just in Austin, Texas, but, you know, this could start to happen in another city as well.
It's possible. So the interesting thing about this particular incident in Austin is it started off, people thought it was a classic set of bombings aimed at a certain group. But as of Sunday night, because of the way the last bombing occurred, they're now starting to suspect that it's just a bomber that's targeting basically anybody in the city. The important thing here that is really a milestone in terms of this type of incident versus other things that we've had in the past is most other things that have, the bombings that have occurred have targeted specific things in specific places. Mm-hmm. This basically takes it so that no amount of security screening, exactly, you know, like TSA checkpoints or anything,
right,
like that,
right,
that doesn't work because now there's somebody out there that's basically targeting entire cities and randomly.
That's a great point.
And that is a very, very different type
that's
of threat
what's different
than
about
something
this
that was there before.
Yeah, you're 100% right. That's what's different about this. It's not targeting a particular venue or a specific, you know, area. I mean, this is random. These are everywhere. These are, you know, you think about a city the size of Austin, Dennis, and you think about packages and boxes, and this is also got to have, like, all of the mail service carriers, the UPS carriers. They've got to be on high alert now. Think about this a minute. They just can't do their job. And
you know, think about this. They just can't leave packages all over the place now. I'm sure there's probably new, I bet you there's new rules of engagement with these people so that they know where they're leaving these things, yeah?
Yeah. I mean, well, so here's the analogy to this, okay? Whoever did this just turned the United States into Afghanistan.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you know, that's the implication of this. So they got to find who this is. They got to find what their motivation is, because turning the entirety of of our countryside into something where everybody has to look over their shoulder constantly, that's a big deal.
Yeah. You know what it's going to come down to? You know what I think it's going to end up coming down to? And I see this happening sooner than later. We're going to have cameras everywhere. There are already cameras everywhere in big cities like New York. You can't move without being filmed. And in other cities, that's what's happened. Cities like Boston and stuff. You remember the Boston Marathon bombing? They started seeing, you know, the suspects that were doing that situation through cameras. So you start thinking about these cities, and it's not just cities, but even towns. You're going to see more and more cameras. This is what I'm saying. This is the future is going to be an Orwellian future for everybody. I mean, that's what I see, because these sort of events are just becoming too commonplace now, and where there's always something happening, where it's either a, you know, like you say, a movie theater, an arena, a situation, something that's happening somewhere. And now with this, what makes this a little different is that it's completely random in a city. Very, very interesting. I hope they find this person quickly, or persons quickly. I think it's somebody that's out doing a joyride, somebody that's just out to, again, it's with the media. They gain a little bit of notoriety. They get out there and they cause harm. It's hard to imagine that this is an organized terrorist group. Usually they're more pronounced in their dealings. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. And, I'm sure that the FBI bombing people are on scene there. There are techniques that are used in law enforcement to go try to find who it is that's doing this.
Right.
And I'm familiar with some of them. I just won't repeat them over the air.
Right.
So, but I'm sure they're applying all of these things at this point.
Well, that's what I figured too.
Somebody.
There's a lot of other news here going on. One of the big stories I've seen here is this just absolutely amazing tweet that was put out by John Brennan, the former director of the CIA. So he puts a tweet out that just, I can't even begin to, I could not have fathomed this. And so he puts a tweet out Saturday here, when the full extent of your venality, moral turpitude, and political corruption becomes known, you will take your rightful place as a disgraced demagogue in the dustbin of history. You may scapegoat Andy McKay, but you will not destroy America. America will triumph over you. What do you think about that?
This is John Brennan, right?
This is John
Director
Brennan.
Of CIA, the one who under whose watch we discovered spying on Americans with FISA warrants.
Yeah, I just can't believe this tweet, man.
I think this stuff is beginning to come to a head, and it's not just his tweet, but the reaction from people over the weekend. And the back and forth that started to happen. You know, you got senators and governors, and everybody's coming out of the woodwork on this.
It's getting messy.
I think it's getting real. You know, before it was just like tit-tat, chit-chat, and all that kind of stuff. And with the Inspector General report, actual action on McCabe, you know, there's stuff about to hit fan blades.
Yeah, I think so as well. But all this was in response to the tweet the president put out, and this is after, of course, the firing of Andrew McCabe, which, of course, the left went crazy. Their heads fell off, basically, Dennis, with the firing of Andrew McCabe. You'd think Andrew McCabe was a choir boy. You'd think that they thought he did nothing wrong, that everything was cool and copacetic here, you know. But he was, clearly everybody kind of felt that Sessions was going to have no choice but to fire him before his 50th birthday. By being fired before his 50th birthday, it definitely impacts his pension. But, you know, Dennis, as I said, you know, on our weekend show on Viewpoint, I think the man's going to be wearing orange. I think a lot of these cats are going to be in orange before it's all said and done. And I think Andrew McCabe, this may be one of his least problems, being the pension, if he ends up behind bars somewhere. But he has clearly broken some laws, and is the criminality here in all of this is amazing. The president puts out an interesting tweet. Other people responded to the tweet. We're going to get more into that as well. Another one that Twitter is aflamed with today on Monday here, Jim Carrey. Yes, that's the actor, the comedic actor, the beloved Jim Carrey. That's right. That's the one I'm talking about here. So he does these political cartoon kind of things. He's another one of these cats that have gotten into drawing all these cartoons and stuff. He draws a pretty hideous picture of Sarah Huckabee Sanders, by the way, and he puts out some comments about her and her faith, and boy, that has really hit the fan, I have to tell you. And so this is really turning into some ugly stuff at this point. Also, the election in Russia. Good old Vlad. Vlad won the election. I know you're surprised to hear that today, but he has won the election. Of course, I won't tell you about the camera films that they were showing them stuffing the ballot boxes in Russia, for real. They actually had cameras, Dennis, where they were stuffing the ballot boxes, and they showed this, and somehow that got out, which is kind of ironic. With a state-run media program that film got out somehow. I'm still wondering how that happened. But that just shows you. But his numbers, you know. In fact, I got to tell you, I think he got 70-some-odd percent here.
Yeah. 73%, yeah. I think.
But
yeah.
You know what amazes me? If you're going to stuff the ballot box, why didn't you get 100%? I mean, what the hell happened with that? I think he's...
Well, maybe they were stuffing opposition votes.
It could be. Also, Cynthia Nixon, the Sex and the City actor there, the actress, the activist... She is running for governor of the great state of New York against the Democrat, as you know, Andrew Cuomo. I have other names for him. But anyways, we'll stay right on that. And Uber says after a test crash of their test-driving cars that drive themselves, they are halting that. A fatal crash killed somebody in Arizona. I don't know about those self-driving cars. They make me a little weird here. I'm just trying to hang on to the wheel myself, Dennis, and go here as we go. Listen here, on Nozzle here, take 15 seconds, please. Tell friends. They probably hear your voice. You know who you are already, but tell them who you are, please.
Yeah, it's Dennis Santiago. I am a global strategic analyst and financial analyst, and write columns on foreign policy. And overall, just kind of try to do my part of being a member of the American citizenry.
That's it. You're doing more than that, man. He's got a column up there, by the way, in America Out Loud right now about Vlad, which I think is a killer article, by the way. It's outstanding. If he could only have interviewed Vlad, he says. That's the title, more or less. How that would come off by interviewing him. I'm a little jealous because, actually, Dennis, I would love to interview Vlad, I have to tell you there. But anyways, hold it there, friends. More Nozzle in just a moment here.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
So Andrew McCabe is fired, as we all know. He is, you know, sent with his bags packing. We kind of really knew this was going to happen. I think Sessions kind of had to do this. Dennis, take a moment and just tell me. Now, what do you think would have happened if the Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, had not fired McCabe prior to the 50th birthday, which was Sunday? If he had not done that, what would have happened, do you think? Anything?
Well, you know, it's kind of normal in public service circles that you let the guy retire out, you know, because you've spent a lifetime of service there. So whatever was inside that Inspector General's report, you know, that's the Internal Affairs Department of the FBI.
Yep.
And so whatever they had in there must have been scathing enough that he had it, right? He'd been staring at the draft for a while. They're still working on it, but there must have been enough in there to say, you know, this is like you've gone too far.
Right.
And you'll hear the politics about it going on back and forth because people are upset. But ignore the politics and just look at the facts. Sessions could not have acted unless he had material.
He wouldn't have acted. He wouldn't have.
Yeah, he's not the kind of guy that would.
No, he's not. He's not going to shoot from the hip. He is a direct opposite of a Donald Trump. He is, you know, very much, very strategic. You've been watching him. You know what I'm talking about out there. I mean, he's very strategic. Again, we always call him the Alabama Southern gentleman. You know what I mean? Of course, that drives people crazy, man. They want him to be a little more, you know, a little more vocal at times, or a little more upset, maybe even pissed off sometimes here or there. But yet, with all this going on, you know, the whole thing here, you just said it a moment ago. The key to this whole puzzle here, friends, is the Inspector General report that is going to have to come here. And that is, remember, that's got to come from Horowitz, the Inspector General Horowitz. And we don't know that. We haven't seen that report yet, right? I mean, we don't know what's in it. So Sessions is watching. He's got that report, Dennis, you know?
Yeah, he's got the draft.
He's got the draft.
He's had the draft for a while. He's been looking at it.
He's looking at it. He knows what's going on. So you got to remember that, friends. So he's got that report. We don't have it. We haven't seen it. What I'm wondering is, all of these people like Adam Schiff and all of these, you know, crazy folks that think somehow nothing's wrong, like the sky really isn't falling and everything is perfect, you know, in Washington politics, and maybe for them in their life it is. What I'm wondering is, what are they going to say and how are they going to act when this report comes out, Dennis? What's their defense going to be there? What's it going to happen then? Are they going to, like, what happens? Are they going a full tailspin? Do they, you know, what do they do?
No, they've got an idea of what's inside that report, right?
You know, you say that. Yeah, I wonder.
Well, because, I mean, you know, they're aware.
You might be right.
Of stuff that's going. This is Washington, right? I mean, you know. So look at the stuff that's happened over the weekend.
Yeah.
Because of the firing,
right?
So Trump's lawyer, John Dowd,
right?
calls for the ending of the Mueller investigation.
Oh boy.
Right.
Oh boy.
Yeah. In his own thing, which in turn gets Pat Leahy, Chuck Schumer,
little reaction,
Mark Warner, Tim Kaine, and even the governor of Virginia, Terry McAuliffe, is like up.
How dare you? You can't fire that special counsel. Tell the president to stop it right now.
Yeah, yeah, because they're you know, they're like never Trump left, right? You know, as opposed to never Trump right. So he's got like two factions coming.
Exactly. Well, he's got more than that, but you're 100% right.
Well, so, yeah. In the meantime, you know what really entertains me about this is is Rand Paul comes out, you know, out from Kentucky, and he goes, "I never liked Brennan."
He never did. He gave him a hard time.
Did.
Never did.
Yeah, he gave him the hardest time.
He
of,
did.
Of all, right?
Yeah.
Because yeah. Absolutely. So I look at all this and I go, like, what's going on? You know, Samantha Power is coming out of the woodwork. There's like old Obama crew, the whole thing, and
Samantha Powers. Yeah.
The fallout from it, I think the IG report stands on its own in terms of behavior within the FBI.
Well,
they have their problem to raise the standards of that organization back to the point that people trust it.
Yeah.
That's one thing. On the other side of it.
Do you know anybody, by the way, do you know anybody in there who could get us that report? Do you realize the attention I could get if I could get that report just like an hour in advance? Do you know anybody who could get that for us in advance of the big news organizations?
Well, you know, there's these old plumbers from the Watergate era.
Some favors you can call in, maybe some favors.
You know, maybe G. Gordon Liddy's still available to do some work. I don't know.
Yeah, just a favor or two. That's all I'm saying, Matt. If I could just get that report just a little bit in advance, my friend.
It'll come out, and it's good time. I mean, the fallout from the events is what really fascinates me, because what they're arguing about is not whether or not there's something bad in that report. Even the I forget the guy's name, one of the Democrats on the Intelligence Committee was going, well, there might be a valid file.
Adam Schiff said that, actually. Which is a surprise.
It was kind of weird, right?
It was kind of weird. But now what you just said, let me say something to you, because you said a moment ago, you kind of think they probably know, they sort of maybe kind of know. Let me just say that.
Everybody knows everybody in that town.
No secrets.
And the gossip is, nothing transits faster. Yeah. The only thing that's faster than light in the universe is gossip.
Yeah. Right. You're right.
And it's going around all over the place.
The speed of light. It's beyond the speed of sound. The speed of light.
It's faster than the speed of light.
That's it.
Gossip is like warp drive.
That's like warp drive, huh? All right. Well, I got to tell you then, because Samantha Powers comes out, and on top of Brennan's tweet, she says, "You don't want to piss off John Brennan." Now, what did that mean, Dennis?
I don't know. Maybe Rand Paul seems to be able to do it just fine.
You know, he is really something else, that Brennan. He makes you sick, you know, I have to tell you, with his comments. But let me tell
you. He's a passionate man. I mean,
passionate.
You know, but these
guys
are
passionate
about defending whatever it is they're trying to defend.
But what are they defending? I mean, how can that be passion? That's the stupidity.
My guess is that what they're defending is there's a history.
The deep state? Is that what they're defending?
I think, you know, they made some decisions during the previous administration, and some assumptions about things to check on, things that were going on, and this was, you know, Patriot Act and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, they very well could have gone too far in their ebullience to go find something. All that's about to get exposed as this house of cards starts to fall.
They may be
thinking that the McCabe firing is the thing that's pulling the pin on the grenade.
Well, that's interesting. I think there were a few pins and a few grenades, actually, that are going to go off. I think there's more than just this one pin. It may be a little bit of a pin, but there are more pins. And, of course, there are a lot of pin heads beyond the pins, Dennis. So we'll get into that as well. You know, listen, I want to tell folks the tweet. So get a load of this now. So all of this is going on. So you get this Brennan tweet. So he decides to stick his foot right in a pile of you-know-what. And the former director of the CIA throws this out. Now you got Brennan, you got Clapper, you got all these cats that were in with the Obama crew that are just reeling in all this dirt. That I'm just anxious to see how they're going to defend it when it all gets flushed out. But so he throws that out. This Samantha Powers comes back and she says, you know, what she says. Oh, don't piss off John Brennan. And then on top of that, the president, though, instead of the president lying low, like you said a moment ago, that's not his style, Dennis, is it? And when you said a moment ago, well, the president, the attorney of the president, Dowd, go ahead. And he said, no, the president's not going to fire the special counsel. Well, why did all this come up? Well, because the president threw this tweet out, which is what Brennan's tweet was on top of this tweet. And the president's tweet says, "Andrew McCabe fired. A great day for the hardworking men and women of the FBI. A great day for democracy. Sanctimonious James Comey was his boss and made McCabe look like a choir boy." He knew all about the lies and corruption going on at the highest levels of the FBI, says President Trump. Now, keep in mind, Dennis, James Comey has a book coming out within the next month here. He's got a big, big book coming out. He says he's got tapes and he's got the president on this and that and the other. I think James Comey could potentially be on crack, is what I'm thinking.
Oh, well, yeah, but he'll be able to afford it. I mean, you know, Trump's the biggest salesman for his book. I mean, think of it, right? You know, he's got a book coming out in 30 days. He doesn't have to go on a book tour or anything. Those things are going to fly off the shelves. They're probably thinking second, third printing hardcover at this point.
You know, I have a problem buying a book with somebody that is so full of BS and like that. Like the last book that came out against the president, who wrote that? Like I got the one that Donna Brazile did. That was an outstanding book, by the way, that she did. Donna Brazile, you know, the format of the DNC.
Yeah, it was. I mean, you know, she was very honest about
what she thought
had gone wrong.
She deserves a Nobel Prize, whatever they're giving out for that one. It's called Hacks, that book. But that last book that went after Trump, that was from the New York columnist. What was his name again? The doofus up there. Yeah, well, that book anyways. You know, I couldn't get myself to go buy that book. When you just said that this book's going to go off the site. And I'm not sure. In other words, I was so against what was going on. I couldn't spend my hard-earned money. And I knew I needed to, and I knew I should have. But against principle, I didn't go buy the book. Now, it's the same principle, Dennis, I use when I won't go to a football game. It's the same principle I use when I won't go to a particular movie. It's the same principle as to why I didn't buy that last book. And I'm not sure I'm going to be able to buy Comey's book. I'm probably going to have to look at the stuff they put out there. Now, is that being too high and mighty?
Well, maybe to a certain extent. I mean, you know, you got to read what these guys have to say, because it's either going to confirm or deny, you know, whatever it is that you thought was going on. Because they always reveal something that is kind of interesting.
They do.
In some cases, they reveal that they're kind of loony in terms of their beliefs, that they actually believed the stories that they were telling themselves, as opposed to being, you know, that they were using whatever it is that they were doing more rationally, you know, and and you know whose book is like the classic example of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Rodham. Yeah.
Oh, that was amazing. That book there. That's another one I could not buy because I despise the person so much. Do me a favor. When Comey's book comes out, would you please spend your hard-earned money and buy it, my friend, and then just let me know what's in it? Give me the extra so I can read it on the news, please.
You mean you give you the yellow version of it?
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, I know I'm pushing my luck here, but oh, man. That's kind of sometimes how I feel about these things. So the president puts this tweet out there, and then he starts to get a whole bunch of response back. One tweet comes out from Tony Schaefer, says, "And now, from the de facto spokesman of Satan and the deep state, wow, an admission of guilt." And can you believe this kind of talk here, huh?
Yes. And he's, you know, this is one of those, between you and me, this is a refreshing thing to see in American government.
Is it?
Yes. And I look at it this way. You know, American government usually moves at a snail's pace.
Okay.
It takes forever, and you get nothing done, and things kind of die off, but nothing changes.
Right.
And the way I look at this, Ben Franklin would be so proud of this country right now, because – you know, he was quoted way back when and going, you know, there are no good laws or policies in this country's in this country that do not involve someone hitting somebody else in Congress, you know, like coming to blows.
Right.
Franklin's only limitation is, you know, fisticuffs are fine. Mm-hmm. Caning, because people used to carry canes back in the day. You can't hit people with a stick.
No, you can't.
But you can certainly hit them with your fist. And
well, now you can hit him with a tweet.
The point was that these things are passionate arguments about the direction of the country, and they have to happen fast and with a lot of energy. And that's kind of what we're seeing. We're seeing a modern version of it. It's technologically enhanced. It gets out there a lot quicker. Now the whole country is sharing in the argument, as opposed to just the people in the swamp, right? But it's still basically it was part of the recommended design for how this country should deliberate.
Wow. So wait a minute. Now you've got me thinking. Now, so you are saying, I mean, you're really endorsing all this. You're saying that is really, that's more than a silver lining here. You're saying this is great, right? You're saying
it's a return to first principles of
wow.
You know, how much energy? Remember, we had this place started off with 13 colonies that didn't like each other.
Right.
And they didn't like, and they did not like each other passionately. They had different.
And they acted like Parliament. They acted like the Parliament did out of the UK, where they'd get in a room and start acting like nuts.
Imagine what it took to bring all that together. There were tons of arguments and passionate arguments.
But Dennis, whenever that happens now in our country, people get really upset. They say we're not being respectful anymore. You bring up a really, really interesting point. Like, for instance, when the State of the Union happened, when Obama was in office, and then one of the Supreme Court justices didn't want to stand for something or whatever, and then the next one, and then the one guy said something out loud, remember? He yelled, one of the politicians yelled something out there, which was, that was like the voice heard around the world. What I'm saying is, there were people passionate. What you're saying is the passion.
Yeah, the passion. I mean, you know, my God, you know, we're so, we are a very polite country, right? You know, and it's one of our problems. We're so polite. We sweep so many things under the rugs. Look at what's happening to our kids and, you know, school shootings and stuff like that. We sweep these kids under the rug. I mean, they're young men who we should be paying attention to, but our society is very polite. Like, look at Theresa May, right? She goes in the House of Commons. There's people yelling.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Constantly.
I watch them.
Boisterous, right?
Yeah.
And the United States came from that particular form of government.
I often think of that.
People were boisterous in while they were in the act of committing government. Mm-hmm. And we've become quiet. Well, you know, that's basically because we're a very polite nation.
Interesting. So a lot of people are thinking we're falling apart and we're becoming uncivil. But you're saying that's very interesting to me. That's cool.
You know, I like seeing America passionate.
Wow. So if everything is accurate then to what you're saying, and we can convince everybody that it's a good thing, and you're making me really think here, if this is all good and then the president is credited for creating all this turmoil, then the president should be a hero then. He should get some sort of a Nobel Prize on that measurement, no?
Or a returning of America to living beyond
based on what you're saying.
It's living beyond the era of political correctness, which started, you know, in the 80s and 90s, right? But before that, America was not that polite, but it was a heck of a lot more cohesive because it had mechanisms that people could use to diffuse their energy and bring it back down. You know, you open your mouth and said something and it kind of let it out into the air and then it's gone. We've been bottling ourselves up for so long.
You're really making me think.
Every time you open your mouth, you explode. And, you know, that's not healthy for anybody.
Well, listen, we've all been corrected here then. So I'm going to now consider, you've really convinced me here with this last bit here that this is a good thing. I'm going to go on the measurement of what you're saying. And I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not disturbed at all. I think this is good then. But you're right. We did get a little PC for a while. We've been PC for quite a while, actually.
Oh, yeah.
And right through the Obama administration, things were – everybody was – in fact, anytime the right spoke up through Obama, the whole PC thing came out and was flushed out, right?
Oh, I had a conversation about the problem of political correctness. What was it? Early 1990s. There was one of the true intellectual philosophers on social culture, James Q. Wilson. I don't know if you remember who he was. He was a professor at UCLA and looked at a lot of things like crime and government.
Right.
And yeah, I hung out with him for a little bit and we were talking about this, and he told me he was very, very convinced of this, that whatever you teach into schools is what the country becomes a generation later.
Then we're in trouble.
And if you teach people political correctness, then the country becomes politically correct. The problem with that is that it's an imperfect system and you create all kinds of consequence effects. We talked a lot about consequence of, so you say, well, I want to do something simple. This is what I believe. And then you try to force it on everybody else. And the next thing you know, everybody else is going, well, that's not what I believe.
Right. But based on what you're saying, we're in trouble then. But just on the basis.
Now we're in trouble. Instead of 13 colonies, now we got 280 million colonies because everybody's an individual and everybody's got a Facebook and an Instagram. And, you know.
Well, but if this next generation is based on what they're teaching in the schools, we're in a lot of trouble here.
Yes.
That's what I get out of that.
Well, yeah, and that's what we worried about when we talked about it, because we could see the PC stuff.
Yeah.
It was starting in the early 1990s. Right. You know, then it was called political correctness, and then it was layered on. I remember during that period, it layered on with additional things. The churches started to get involved, and then they call it social justice, which was church-imposed political correctness. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and people thought they were doing the right thing. And during that period, I kept asking people questions about, do you understand the consequence effects of this? Because, like, this may work for you, but it's not going to work for everybody in this country. And and you're a minority in terms of, because you're elites, you know, elites pushing their opinions on
that
a common
1%, that 1%.
Yeah, it usually doesn't work out well because, you know, like, I'm sorry, man. You know, we're sitting here talking about this and you know, we're getting picky because this year of this particular Merlot was not as good as the last year. And you're trying to talk to me about how you're going to manipulate society and make it better. And I'm going, you understand, you know, the guys outside this room drink Bud Light.
Well, they're not the 1%, are they?
No.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wrote an article a long time ago about this. And the title of it was Ordinary People Matter.
Yeah. Well, you always look at things in a very simple. I love the way you look at things. You look at the world in a very unique. I really do. A very unique but simple way. And when you do that, you can actually come up with all kinds of different equations as to what's really going on behind, you know, behind the curtain kind of thing, which is really what a lot of our problems are today that you tend to look at through a different set of eyes, which is really cool reading your stuff. You know, I want to just follow back up on the two other tweets I want to share with folks now about this Trump tweet and then the Brennan tweet. Mike Tokes here says, "Hey, false flag Brennan, the American people will triumph over disgraced, lying, corrupt officials like you and have abused their powers to commit tyrannical and Orwellian actions against the American people. You lied under oath and should be in jail right now." And they are saying he did lie, Dennis, and he's not the only one that lied.
He's the head of the CIA. Of course he's all... come on, it's like being ahead of the KGB. Come on. They're supposed to lie. That's your job.
Well, it's supposed to be against the law, too, in a lot of these cases when you're speaking to Congress and when you're on record and stuff. So we'll see if, you know, what happens there. And this other one, by the way, Kurt Schlichter on his tweet says to Brennan, I love his tweet. Three words he puts out there, Dennis. He said, "You mad, bro?" More nozzle in just a minute. Let the silent voices be heard. It's the rallying call that started it all. AmericaOutloud.com. For a wide spectrum of programming from world and political news, societal and cultural stories, law enforcement, our military heroes, and much more. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Just think, if everybody that has lied through this whole episode is put behind bars, you realize we may be able to clean Washington out yet?
Yeah, well, that's, you know, Mueller may drain the swamp by being diligent.
Yeah. We may find the bottom of that swamp, yeah. Well, I want to share with folks, so Jim Carrey, the beloved actor, the comedic actor, he comes out, you ain't going to believe this, guys. So he's an artist now, Dennis, in his afterlife now. He's got art, he draws it, and then he throws it out on Twitter. And so he draws a pretty, did you see the picture he did of Sarah Huckabee Sanders, how disgraceful it was? He drew a picture of her. And he puts out there a message, and he paints the portrait of, you know, the White House press secretary. This is Sarah Huckabee Sanders. And he says, and I quote, he says, "This is the portrait of the so-called Christian whose only purpose in life is to lie for the wicked."
That sounds very Jim Carrey.
Wow, but that's pretty aggressive, bud. That's pretty aggressive.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you know, you got to remember the guy is an artist, right? You know,
right.
He's not a politician. He's not.
All right, but so do you think that back to your sense of, okay, no PC, be honest, be passionate. Okay, so you're saying to me now,
let him talk. You know,
so you're saying that's okay.
Look at him.
But let me ask you this now: if this man was to come out with another movie, how well do you think it would do at the box office?
Well, you know, he hasn't made a good movie in a while. And, you know.
But if he needs another $10-15 million, you know what he's going to do. He's going to do a movie.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, by staying visible like this, you know, if I were his agent or his manager, I'd be saying, yeah, do that. Because you need, there's no good attention. There's no bad attention. There's just attention. And the more attention you get, the more marketable you are. I can take you back over to CCA and figure out if we can make a deal for another movie. And you
so
know.
Even with this, you think then there's no harm here, that it's okay for him to throw that, to insult her that way and discuss her and really the disgusting thing about her faith, to say you're a so-called Christian. Isn't that a bit below the belt?
Well, of course it's below the belt, but you know, he's a Hollywood personality who's got the pat. Yeah, of course.
Well, that's what I wanted to hear you say. You weren't saying that.
Everybody's hitting below the belt right now. So, you know, and he's just happens to hit below the belt with a doodle. I mean, you know.
I know.
I'll draw a doodle. You want me to draw doodles?
Well,
I'll draw doodles.
I'm glad you're saying that, at least. I at least hear what you're saying and that you know. I mean, I don't see this as a good business move for a lot of these guys, because I'll tell you, the right is so inflamed, and 50% of the country is so upset with these kinds of people. And again, the Hollywood elite and the sanctimonious, as they all come off. Come on, my friend.
It's actually not good.
It's not good.
The other side of the conversation that his manager should be having with him is that, okay, so you've tried to make a whole bunch of wholesome movies.
Right.
They did not work out well. Right. This is the audience that watches those kinds of movies.
Right.
If you want to make those kinds of movies, you know, this is not good for your brand.
That's right. That's
right. And somebody should be having that conversation with him that form too. Now, the other thing is, you know, he may figure he's retired. He's, you know, he certainly made his money. And at which point you're just kind of speaking up. You're not actually working the biz anymore.
I guess.
Right? You're just a curmudgeon.
I guess. It depends what his future plans are. We don't really know what his future plans are, but I just think it's a dumb thing to do. I don't really understand why these entertainers do what they do. You said a moment ago, you do think he crosses the line kind of with that and the way it is with the people, but yet at the same time, like you're saying, you know, any news is good news. I don't know. I think we're in a very interesting point of this country where when you step in a pile of it gets really upset, and the part of the people that are upset, they're going to come back and they're not going to watch your movies, they're not going to listen to you sing, they're not going to, you know, watch your interactions. And you know, I think you're going
and
to
that's
see
happening.
More and more.
You know,
it's happening.
The ratings are going down.
The ratings are going. Yeah, look at the award shows are down. The movie receipts are down. It's all down. It's all down.
Yeah. And so the bottom line there is, yeah, there's somebody that looks at this business that's an accountant that's going, I think so.
I think there's got to be a problem here. Same thing with football. It's the same conversation with football, Dennis, with all the patriots out there and people who really were passionate about our military and our law enforcement and others weren't happy with the fact that these guys were on their knees and doing all that. Anyways.
It all pales to what happened last weekend when, you know, like the number 16 seed beat the number 1 seed and threw all the sports betting on March Madness into chaos. So
maybe, but I tell you what, I think the pop cultural push in the entertainment world and the sports world, and I just think they are treading very on thin ice right now.
Yeah, well, you know, well, remember, this is all about fads, right? You know,
yeah,
so like,
right.
You ride the fad as long as it goes, and then it drops, and then the creative people have to come up with what's the next fad.
Yeah,
you know, a lot of these guys have, you know, they've made their run, and
maybe you're right. Maybe they think they got nothing to lose, and maybe you're right. Maybe Carrie thinks he made his run, he made his money, he's done it over. Now he's going to draw cartoons and piss on everybody's tulips. It's possible.
Yeah,
I just don't see it as really clever. I don't really understand what they get out of that. Really, any more than I understand why Streisand opens up her mouth and does what she does when, you know,
she's an artist too. I mean, you know, you have to remember that the psychology.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to be that creative, your world, your entire universe, what's going on inside your head is probably 99.9% emotional drive and passion, 1% logic.
That's well said. That's well said. That needs to be a future column. That to me, I can understand as a reason why these morons are so stupid. Okay, yeah. That I accept what you just put out. It's the best explanation
I've
heard.
One of the shrinks on the network should really take a hard look at that, because you know it's a personality type to make somebody that creative.
I just want to talk to you quickly about the Russian election here, Vlad. Your buddy, my buddy, Vlad.
My buddy,
Let's talk about Vlad. So he won.
Vlad the second.
So,
well, the first guy was Vlad the Impaler, but you know that's old history.
All right. So what do you think about this election? He won. I mean, that's. You know,
oh wow! Big surprise!
Big surprise!
I was biting my teeth. You know, oh, will he make it? I don't know. You know,
what I want
is going to win.
What I understand, what I don't understand is this: why have an election? Why do an election? Why go through? Why look like a moron? I mean, why bother? Why? I mean, you look like a jackass. I mean, why bother having an election if you're going to win anyways, and you're the win? I mean, like, what do they gain by that?
They're a very proud people.
Proud of what? Proud of the fact that they lie like hell and they stuff ballot boxes and
proud
of what?
You know, they're proud of who they are and their history. They're as proud as anybody else is of you know, they've had a long history, mm-hmm. right? And they have a system of government and they hang on to that stuff, because if they don't, they devolve into a warlord class existence that they see coming up from the south side of their country, mm-hmm. and they don't want to do that. They do not want to become that. Mm-hmm. And you know, you have to understand about Russia. You know, I took a real close look at these guys a week ago, because I'm going like, you know, what's really going on there? And they have a tiny economy. Their gross domestic product is like a smidge.
You know, I knew it was small, but you painted quite a picture in that column, by the way. And that column, friends, is on AmericaOutloud.com. Now, it is all about Vlad. What I'd like to ask Vladimir Putin if I could interview him. And that's a startling number you have in there, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but it's on the internet, right? I mean, you know, it's one of the wonderful things about the net is you go like, what's the GDP of Russia?
Right.
And like it pops up there in you know, like half a second. Yeah. What's the GDP of the United States? What's the GDP of the European
Union? We used to have to go to the library for all that stuff, but no more.
Yeah, now you just, you know,
that's right.
You go, you know, and I won't say it because my phone's nearby and it'll activate.
Just ask
a certain girl.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And it'll come back and tell you, right? And there's two of them. Her hockey puck girlfriend.
There's Alexa. There's Google. There's a bunch of them now.
Yeah, don't say. Oh, good. I've got earphones on, so don't. Because if you say it real loud, they'll come on and they'll start talking and go like, "What do you want, honey?" Yeah.
I can imagine how you talk to yours. What do you want, honey? Do you talk to it in that tone as well? I wonder.
I attempt to, but
do you talk to your phone better than you talk to your wife, or your wife better than your phone?
I talk to my wife more annoyingly lovingly than any
annoyingly lovingly. This I can see.
I've been married to her for 30 years, and she is a total saint. You know, like, and it's, you know, it's a mixed marriage, man. You know, because she's a Democrat.
That's right. That's right. And she tolerates you, huh?
Well, so far, 30 years in.
So far. So now, she's not a hard press to the far left Democrat. She's more moderate, or what is she?
I don't know. She wasn't very happy with me in November last year.
Did she vote for Hillary, clearly?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, she really liked. Wow.
No, I mean, you know, it was hard.
So you're sleeping with the enemy, is what you're saying to me.
No, I'm sleeping with an American. I don't, you know, like, I don't the thing about that whole thing that really, really struck me was how, because, you know, the left of aisle had won consistently on so many things for so long.
Yeah.
They'd forgotten what it was like to be on the losing side of a political event. Mm-hmm. You know, where Republicans, you know, you 2016 election, you go, oh, yeah, you know, it's our turn to win. That's cool. Fine. You know, like, we blocked before, we win now. But it was a shocker, particularly for the young ones, because they'd never actually seen loss. And it hit It hit hard.
I think it's interesting that when you have, like you say, a marriage like that, and it's on the opposite side of that political aisle, that does keep it really interesting. And but imagine the conversations you can have.
Actually the conversations you can avoid.
Avoid. That's true. That's true. I imagine you have to be careful.
Yeah. Remember, I told you, America is a polite country. One of the things that you are polite about is gloating.
Okay. No gloating. All right.
So you don't. You know.
You know what? Would she come on radio one day with you? If we had, would she come on with you?
No, she will not have anything to do with this. She's a very private person.
Okay, got it. Yeah. So that's not going to work then. All right. Talk to me about Cynthia Nixon. So she's the she's the Sex and the City actress. She's an activist. Now I have, in full confession, Dennis, I don't watch television. I've never watched Sex and the City, but I don't watch any television. When I say I don't watch any of it, I don't watch any of the television. So any of these sitcoms and stuff like that, I haven't watched them ever. Like, so I don't know anything about that show other than the title and what I know from popular culture about it. So I don't know really much about Cynthia Nixon either, but she has announced her candidacy for New York governor to go against Democrat Andrew Cuomo. So what do you think about her? What do you think about this? I assume you must have seen an episode or two. Did you like Sex and the City? Was it a good show, or do you?
It was a decent show that it explored social issues of its time, which is what those shows do. Is, you know, they explore where the world is not comfortable and is going with things, and that's what television is you suspend belief and you look at the emotions surrounding your world.
Does she have a chance to beat Andrew Cuomo? The
oh my God, I hope so. New York deserves something better than Cuomo.
That's what people are saying.
Anybody. Yeah.
That's what people are saying on Twitter.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting, right? You know, so like out here in California, Stacey Dash, mm-hmm. who's another actress.
That's right.
Interestingly enough, as a Republican, is running for office and, you know, has announced exploratory committee. So there's people coming out of the woodwork there that are basically saying, you know, I want to take a crack at this. I have mm-hmm. my beliefs. And everybody's eligible. Remember, it's like, you know, you can be anything in this country if you're born here.
Well, let me say this. I'm looking at a couple of tweets here I want to share with folks now. And look at this one right up front here about Cynthia Nixon again. Alan Dershowitz comes out. He says, "The tweets in response to my Cynthia Nixon tweet prove my point. If you're anti-Israel, Nixon's your candidate." Yeah. He says she's anti-Israel, Dennis, so I don't know. You know?
Yeah, I mean, you know, like, I can only follow so many people on Twitter because it's kind of loud. But yeah, I get it. You know, there is New York politics is it's constituency politics to the core, with every constituency in that state is going to judge you on whether or not you are a blind faithful to their cause. Mm-hmm. And if you're not, they will doubt you until you come out and explicitly say you are.
It's your way or the highway, right? Everyone's got an agenda.
They're going.
Point taken.
You know, they're fishing. You know, with not trolling. It's but with jigs, right? You know, sort of like dipping them in the water, in and out, trying to see whether or not the candidate that is out there fights and reveals what their position is.
Well, let me tell you this. The New York Times puts a tweet out. Does New York want another celebrity in public office? The actress Cynthia Nixon hopes so. She has entered the race for governor. Pamela Geller, she's the gal who is against Muslims all the time. You know, Pamela uh-huh. Geller, the politician. Yeah. So she's a very outspoken activist, if you will. There's a story out. Listen to this. Actress Cynthia Nixon has advocated for an increase in funding for public schools, breast cancer awareness, and gay rights, among many other things. Pamela Geller says these people are nuts. That's her response to that. And there's a whole bunch of tweets that are highly, highly entertaining. Too bad Cynthia Nixon isn't running for police commissioner, because she'd be great at reading people their They are Lowers Designer Shades, Miranda writes. So, in parentheses, Lowers Designer Shades, you know. So there's a whole bunch of people. One thing I'm curious about Nixon's candidacy, lots of men have jumped from showbiz to politics, Reagan, Schwarzenegger, Franken, Trump. Will voters allow a woman to do the same? Interesting. I don't know if they will or not, but I don't think she's going to beat Andrew Cuomo, my friend.
Oh, in reality, because the Cuomo network is so entrenched.
She's not going to beat. I mean, unless there's something else happens with Cuomo that is there. And
in a lot of cases, what these people are doing as they come out is they're trying to raise awareness of certain issues that are important for them.
Yeah.
And you know, they know they don't stand a chance.
Everyone's
but
they got
know
an agenda.
That they've got an agenda, and it gives them a forum to point stuff out. And you know, don't get her wrong. She's basically she's got disagreements with Cuomo in terms of the things that he's doing, and
I'm sure there's going to be a different policies, different agenda, different platforms she'll be running on. Listen, we're going to run right out of time here. There's so much time. The hour goes by so quick, Dennis. You know, it's crazy. Real fast here. Let's just spend a couple of seconds here. Uber, though, I wanted to talk to you about the car test, the crash. Do you like these automatic driving cars? What do you think about that?
They're an experiment, and you know they're getting better bit by bit, and part of it is. It's kind of like test piloting, right? You know,
well, that experiment just crashed in Arizona.
Yeah, I know.
And just killed a lady.
Yeah,
so.
and just killed a lady. I mean, normally you kill the test pilot. In this case,
yeah.
And so apparently, from what I read about it so far, she stepped out in front of the car off the curb in an unanticipated way, and they're looking at it. So yeah, they've suspended all their
tests. Uber has suspended all that and the automatic. I don't know where all that's going to go, but I do. It is going to be interesting somewhere ahead when the cars are going to all drive themselves. And they say eventually you're not going to even need a license. That nobody will need a license. And I'm wondering how to break this to my kid who's dying.
I'll need a license.
Dying to get his license. You'll need one, you say?
Yeah. I'm driving my 95 Tahoe through a field of those robotic cars, and you know, they get out of my way.
Also, another bit of big information today for everybody here. Today is National Poultry Day, so make sure you have chicken or duck today, or turkey even, but if it's not Thanksgiving, but you can have turkey still. But most people eat chicken. Duck. Some people eat duck as well. They're showing some kid in a park here on Twitter with a whole bunch of ducks flanking around the kid here. I'm not sure what's that a reflection on the kid or the ducks. But it is Natural Poultry Day, so make sure you have something in the poultry family, Dennis, when you eat tonight.
I'm telling my wife, you know.
No beef today. You got to celebrate the poultry. I don't know who else we can insult this afternoon, but please take a moment, and everyone would love to know with all of this grand news today, what's your predictions?
I think Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un are going to win a Nobel Peace Prize together.
Yeah, wow. Together, that'd be interesting. Could you see them up there now being awarded the Nobel Peace? That would be quite a scene. And
You end a 75-year war.
I could see that. I don't think that's far stretched. You and I have been talking about this a lot on the platform. Many of our people and experts have on America Out Loud. And I think there's some truth to that. I think it's going to be a real... come to Jesus moment for everybody. And when that happens, and of course, probably the left are going to go crazy when that happens. In which case, we'll see what happens from there. Also, one footnote I want to tell folks and the program a note to tell you is this Sunday on Viewpoint this Sunday, our Sunday news program, which is just a spectacular, spectacular Sunday program. If you're not catching that yet, please tune in 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time every Sunday morning for the live version of that show. It plays again later in the day, 6 p.m. on America Out Loud Talk Radio. Also goes on demand that afternoon. Dennis Santiago, the gentleman you're hearing here today, yours truly here, he will be hosting the show for me this week. So he'll be on there with a whole host of characters. And I'll tell you, that show is doing phenomenal. It continues to grow by leaps and bounds. And we're so pleased with it. It's a different sort of news. We actually use real news, not fake news. Friends, my prediction is we'll be back here tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Same time, same place. We will see you then. Nozzle off.